take your Bible this evening and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. I'm calling the sermon tonight, Be Strong and Don't Quit. Be strong and don't quit. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. If you would, please stand with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'm going to read one verse with you. I'll pray. And then you'll sit down. I'll read a couple of other verses and then refer to many throughout the night. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 13. Hey, let's do this. Let's all read this verse, this one verse, out loud together. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 13. Here we go. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And let's pray. Father, help that scripture tonight to help us. Now, Lord, you have some wonderful, wonderful things in store for the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. That means you have some wonderful things in store for these, your people. Help us, Lord, to be where we ought to be, doing what we ought to do, so when the day comes that you have things for us, we're available, we're still in church, we've not quit, and we're still on the firing line for Jesus. Help the sermon tonight to prolong our Christianity and our involvement in the church and the strength of our church, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. I'm going to read a couple of other verses to you. I'm going to read to you from Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9, where the Bible says this, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Now, I think God worded the Bible just fine. He said he doesn't want us to faint. But if you wanted to know what that meant, God's not talking about you falling over and fainting. He's talking about don't quit. So he said, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't quit. Now, I'll read another verse to you. It is found in Psalm 119, verse 165. Where the Bible says this, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." God's telling us that we ought to love God's word. And then if we will, it will help us not to be offended. And somehow, and a love, appreciation, and to a degree, an understanding of the Word of God will keep us from being offended. He obviously says he doesn't want us to quit. He wants us to keep going. So those verses teach us not to quit. God's saying, be strong. Don't be a quitter. Work hard. And work hard at not giving up, not quitting, not throwing in the towel. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on your church. But I have to tell you, folks, I've watched many servants of God quit. I've watched some very good people quit. And I noted some of the reasons why good people quit. And I'm talking about in regard to relationships within the church. Tonight, when I talk about quitting, I'm not talking about someone that got backslidden and went out and got drunk or high and just went off the deep end. I'm more so wanting to talk to you tonight about not quitting as it relates to our relationships and our interactions within the church. Let me tell you why I'm going to teach this tonight. I believe this. I believe with my whole heart our church is on the threshold of going to a new level. We've watched it. Boy, if you can't see it, there's a spiritual swelling that is going on. A lot of good, positive things. And with that in mind, I think we need to be ready. And may I tell you this, we need you. We need you. We need you. We don't need you to quit. We don't need you to find yourself on the wayside. And I will promise you this, the devil wants you to quit, and he wants to discourage you and distract you and get you off track. Did you know it doesn't matter to the devil why you quit church? Just as long as you quit. If you quit the church because you went out and robbed a bank and did something stupid, okay, that's one reason. But if you quit the church because you're walking down the hallway and somebody didn't say hi to you and you were offended and you let that get in your crawl and it festered and you finally quit, the devil doesn't matter. If you robbed a bank or if you were offended because somebody didn't greet you properly, if you quit, he's just happy about it. He's just happy about it. Matter of fact, he'll look for a way to get you to quit that is, that fits you. He'd be glad for you to quit for whatever reason you want. But boy, when the church is about to go to a new level, it's very important that our relationships are good. That's strategic in a church going forward. Hey, and you might be someone that's new in our church, and you might say, "Well, Pastor, are you talking to the deacons? Are you talking to the primary leadership of the church?" I'm talking to everybody. If you are brand new in our church and you just came to us in recent weeks or months, you're a part of the revival that's taking place. Whether you understand it or not, God has things for you to do, and your pastor's counting on you being a part of this movement forward for our church. So I want to talk to you real quickly tonight about this idea. Be strong and don't quit. If you're a church leader, there's some reasons why leaders quit. There's reasons why leaders get off track. If you've led in the church, when you're leading, there are volunteers that are following. It's not always easy to lead volunteers. They become a little undependable sometimes. And so, church leaders can get distracted. And so, there are reasons why leaders in the church might even want to quit. Because sometimes the followers are undependable and sometimes it's impossible to satisfy people. Leaders want to quit because of disloyalties and gossips and people that are behaving in a two-faced fashion and that sometimes people don't realize whoever the leader is, they're human too. And they face their challenges in life. And sometimes followers don't recognize the sacrifice of leaders. And there are leaders that get distracted and there are leaders that get discouraged. But that's really not what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about those of us that are leaders. Let's make sure that we don't mishandle the church workforce. We call this the work of the Lord. And we should be very, very cautious that we handle those that volunteer, that help us in the right way. Everybody in the congregation, don't ever let the devil win. I'm promising you the devil wants to get people to quit. And he's very good at setting up situations where people can be offended and people can be hurt. And we just need to decide we're not going to quit. Do you know, I don't know of one single person that's in a leadership position in our church who maliciously mishandles others. You say, what do you mean by that? I don't think we have a leader in our midst that is mean to somebody or mishandles something and they did it on purpose. And that's what I mean by malicious. I don't think there's a premeditated harshness or a premeditated intent to harm. Oh, but all leaders can mishandle things. And I want to just make sure that we are careful as we work with the followers here in our church. Why do people quit? Why is it in a good church would people quit? Let me tell you some reasons why. I think sometimes good people quit because they don't feel like they're loved. They don't feel like they're loved. Now, John 13:34 says, let us love one another. Now, listen, every leader here, whether you're leading little children or teenagers or adults or men or ladies, let me tell you, as pastor and I think as the Bible teaches, we're to love the people that we work with here in the church. We're to love them. You're to love one another. Listen, if you're a leader, be careful. Sometimes if a leader's heart gets hard, their leadership gets hard. And that's not a good idea. I think that there are times when we feel like a leader is not leading in love and they're not expressive of their love. There's a lack of compassion. So every leader here knows something. God didn't put you in charge of his firing squad. You're not God's hit man. God doesn't want you thinking that way. And I have watched some leaders. They'll preach a hell, but they never have anything much to say about heaven. They'll preach a hate, but they don't have much to say about love. They'll make sure that you heard the truth, but it wasn't seasoned with grace. And they'll make sure you have strength, but there's not a whole lot of beauty wrapped up in that strength. And I would just say, it. Did you know that people's feelings do matter? People's feelings matter. Now, let me say, the Word of God is the Word of God, and the truth of God is the truth of God. The doctrines of the Bible are the doctrines of the Bible. The separation that's in the Bible is in the Bible. We can't change that. And I don't want to change that. I want to stand for that, but I would like to stand for that in the right way. And I would like to make sure that when we're helping people, hey, when we're standing for what's right, if we'll stand in love, it'll make all the difference in the world. Hey, look, those of you that help with all the children's ministries and things around the church, if you have to correct a child or a teenager, let me give you one of the keys of doing it right. You do it in love. You do it in love. But there are people who quit because they're not led in love. Now, hey, let me tell y'all something. I'm saying to the leaders, let's lead in love. But let me tell you, if you're a follower, and we're all a follower at one time or another, if you don't feel like the leader loves enough, don't quit. Don't quit. Hey, that's not the thing to do. Oh, don't quit. The devil, doesn't matter to him why you quit. He just wants you to quit. So I recommend to those of us that lead that we do it with love. And I recommend to those of us that follow, well, if we don't feel like we're loved enough by another human being, God loves us. Let's just stay in our place and keep serving God. Why do people quit? I think sometimes people quit because they don't feel like they're given room to grow. They're not given space for growth. The Bible says in Genesis 48:16, tucked in the middle of the verse, there are three words. It says, let them grow. Let them grow. I think people sometimes get discouraged when they're not given the opportunity for growth. Hey, leaders, I don't think we ought to expect immediate success from anybody. We all know a baby is born and that baby fails and fails and fails at learning to feed itself. And then eventually it learns how to do it. Now, we didn't give up on a baby. We didn't say, now, if that baby, I'm going to show it today. I'm going to show that baby how to eat and use a spoon. And I'm going to show the baby how to do it all by itself. And when that baby failed and the bowl of cereal ended up on the floor and the oatmeal ended up on top of their head and they had more on them than they had in them, you didn't say, that's it. You're not eating anymore. We don't do that. Why? Well, they have to grow. And everybody here, the people around you, need to be given the opportunity to grow. Demanding immediate success. Listen, give them a chance to grow. Give them a chance to figure it out. Let me tell you something. Leaders, everybody in our church, from time to time, they're going to drop the ball. Oh, maybe this is the best way to put it. We're all going to fail sometime. Leader, learn how to deal with someone failing. If you love them and they fail, you just want them to succeed. I think sometimes leaders get upset when someone around them fails because the leader's more concerned about their reputation than they are the work of the Lord. I don't think it ought to be that way. I've told people for years, I don't mind people failing. And I'm not saying I want anybody to fail. I don't want one single person in here to fail. But if you fail, it's okay. We'll just get back up and try again. Some people think that failure, that's the end of it. It's over. I don't feel that way. I think that failure is one of the keys to learning. I think in just about everything that we do, we fail until we succeed. And so I think, to me, failure is a part of growth. But I've been around the church long enough that I know that sometimes we expect growth and we expect it very, very quick or immediate success. Hey, let me tell you all something. I wonder sometimes if people don't fail because a leader failed to train. If a leader does not train well, then the follower, they don't know what to do. And if the leader's assuming that everybody knows exactly what to do, and then everybody's failing, maybe the fault is not the follower. Maybe the fault is the leader. I really render no apologies. My sermons and my training is simple. Pretty easy to follow. Most people do not leave our services saying, "That was so complex, I couldn't get it. I didn't understand it." No, in most cases, even if it's something that I'm preaching hard, they all walk away saying, "I got that. Sure, makes sense." So, I think people get discouraged. I think people quit sometimes in the church because they don't feel like they're loved. I think sometimes that people will quit in the church when they don't feel like there's room to grow and there's so much success and it's expected of them immediately. So, I would say to a leader, give people a chance to grow. If people stumble, when people mess things up and things don't go right, be patient, be kind. Your reputation, I would rather have the reputation of being kind and patient than have a perfect reputation and massacre everybody that comes in my path that dares to taint my reputation. Boy, you better thank God Jesus has been patient with you while you were dropping the ball. Yeah, yeah. So, hey, but leaders, be patient. Let people grow. But I would say this. If you're a follower and you say, "Well, I think that leader right there, they expected of me something and I didn't get the training I needed." Don't quit because you didn't see that space for growth. Just hang in there. Hang in there. I think there are reasons why people quit. And I'm talking about our interaction and the exchange between leadership and fellowship in the church. Sometimes they quit because of no love, and sometimes they quit because there doesn't seem to be space for growth. Sometimes I think people quit because maybe they feel like they're used or they're not appreciated. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 16, Paul said, "I cease not to give thanks for you." Now, folks, I think that we should all express appreciation. I think it's still right to say thank you. I think it's still right to express your appreciation. I think that all of us need to develop our gratitude attitude. And that would be good for all of us. Hey, that would even help some marriages. I think there are husbands that ought to be grateful for wives and wives that ought to be grateful for husbands. You say, "But we're married and what they do is expected." Let me explain. There's a right and a wrong way to handle everybody and everything, and the graces of manners and gratefulness and thankfulness, it's always right in the Bible. So, I think people, sometimes they feel used. Now, let me explain. Do you know that we are supposed to be used in God's work? Not abused, but used. So, now, but leaders will say, "Well, everybody's supposed to be used, and so if I didn't tell them thank you, that's just part of it." Now, I don't think a leader ought to ever have that attitude. Yes, everybody is supposed to be used. Everybody's supposed to want to be used. But that's used of God. Now, God may use you as the leader, as a tool to help them to be used of God. But just so you know, it's to be used of God. And so if you're going to lead God's people, you need to lead God's people God's way. That's the way to handle it. So, I think people, good people, they get discouraged because they don't feel like there's love. They get discouraged because there's not room for growth. They get discouraged because they tend to feel used. They're not thanked or appreciated, or there's no gratitude. Hey, and let me tell you something also. Leaders, listen, be careful that your followers, again, are not failing because you're not providing what they need. Leaders organize. Leaders plan. Leaders help them to succeed. And I've just watched leaders throw things out for the followers, and the follower fails, and then the leader's upset at the follower, but the leader really failed to provide the help and the organization that was necessary for that follower to succeed. But feeling used, I've watched people say, I just feel used. I don't feel appreciated. I don't feel like anybody appreciates me. Now, leaders, be appreciative. And don't make that worker or that person that's assisting or helping you, don't make them feel used. But could I warn you, Christian, if you feel used, don't quit. Don't quit. You say, I feel there's an injustice. I know, and I don't want that injustice, but don't quit. Could I tell you, I don't know where you would go, and there's nobody leaving our church. I'm not trying to correct something that's broken, but I would tell you, if you go someplace else, did you know you'll probably find out there's somebody there that won't love right, and there's somebody there that won't give you space to grow, and there's somebody there that won't appreciate you and thank you, so I guess it's a pretty well a lateral move from leaders that are sinners saved by grace to somewhere where the leaders are sinners saved by grace. Hang in there. I'm glad I didn't quit the times I didn't feel appreciated. I'm glad I didn't quit the times I didn't feel loved. I'm glad I didn't quit the times that I wasn't really given the space for growth that I needed. I kept on going. And the Bible says that we shall reap in due season if we faint not. What's it talking about? When things don't go your way, if you'll just hang in there and not quit, we'll get it together. It'll happen. Why do people quit? Why do good people quit? Remember, I'm not talking about someone that goes out and robs the bank and they go off the deep end into sin. I'm talking about our relationships within the church between leaders and followers. And God said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And so let's be careful with those relationships. There's another reason. I think when there is a lack of loyalties, it can cause people to be hurt. It can cause people to want to quit. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times. I think that within the church, we should be scriptural friends to one another. And it uses the word all times. Hey, I've watched this for many, many years. I have watched leaders that demand loyalty from followers. And then that leader is not loyal to their follower. Folks, I think all of us need to learn something. Leadership is up the ladder and down the ladder in its purest form. For some leader to expect loyalty from those that follow, and for that leader to turn around and throw the follower under the bus whenever it's convenient, I just don't understand that. So, the Bible says a friend loveth at all times. So the leader doesn't want the follower to badmouth the leader. And then the leader will badmouth the follower. It's not in the Bible, but you know what goes around comes around. Be careful. I think this. I think you and I are to be loyal ultimately to God. We are to be loyal to the Word of God. But did you know God teaches that God's people ought to be good to each other all the time? And if you and I share a loyalty to God, and if you and I share a loyalty to God's Word, then there is a loyalty that is appropriate between us. So, loyalty is a two-way street. And I've watched people where the leadership demands that the people be loyal to leadership, and then the leader turns around and behaves in a disloyal way toward the fellowship. So leaders, remember, if you want loyalty in your leadership, I would highly recommend that you practice loyalty. So leaders, learn to be loyal down, not just to expect it up. So you all know, though, just in case you stumble across a leader that is not loyal toward you as a follower, could I recommend that you don't quit? Don't quit. You will reap if you faint not. Be careful. Don't quit. So I think good people quit because They don't feel loved. I think good people quit because they don't feel like they've been given space to grow. I think good people, they quit because they don't feel appreciated, or they don't feel like proper gratitude is expressed to them. I think good people quit because they feel the absence maybe of loyalty from maybe someone above them or around them. I'll tell you something else that I've learned. I've learned that people, good people quit when confidentialities are not kept in an appropriate way. I'll explain this in a moment. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:13, "He that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." I think good people will quit, and I think good people will retract themselves from serving God at a church when confidential matters are not kept confidential. Leaders, let me explain something. A follower comes to you for help, and they reveal maybe a character flaw or something they don't know how to do, a weakness. Now, let me tell you something. They brought it to you to get help, not for you to advertise their weakness to everybody. You want to hurt people, just let somebody put some confidence in you and seek your help, and then you turn around and humiliate them with that information. Every leader here, learn to protect people's dignities. We're not going to break the law to look. If you're planning that bank robbery and you come tell me, I'm not keeping it confidential. Okay, so I'm the last guy you want to talk to if you're going to go rob a bank. But listen. But when people have little, when they have character flaws and issues that they're working on, they do not need you to turn around and repeat to everybody that weakness or that character flaw. Well, you'll hurt people that way. You'll cause people to want to quit. We have got to learn how to handle ourselves appropriately in regard to that sort of a thing. I was trying to help a pastor. He could not. He told me this. He said, "Brother Owens," he said, "I just can't figure it out. I'll get my church to going, and we'll start growing." He said, "And then somehow we lose the unity in our church, and I get bad spirits in the church." He said, "And then I'll lose a bunch of people, and it discourages me. And then we'll try again, and we'll start reaching some people and helping people, and then I lose a bunch of them." And I wanted to help him. He was asking my advice. And I'll tell you what I did while I was there. He actually told me. He said, "I have a counseling session. I have somebody in my church, and they have this particular issue, and I'm going to help them." Now, between two pastors, I didn't think he's been terribly inappropriate, but this is what happened. He, in private, he helped some people, and the next thing you know, I heard him in a public meeting virtually revealing what he had just learned in private while he was helping someone. And I even asked him about it later. I said, "Preacher, do you think maybe you hurt the people that you had counseled?" He said, "Well, I just use that sort of thing to warn everybody else." I said, "I'm not real sure that's a good way of doing it." I said, "Do you do that often?" He said, "Regularly." I said, "Maybe that's why you get to moving along, and all of a sudden you face a setback." I said, "You have to learn to guard the dignity of the people and don't hurt them." Now, once again, you break the law, there are obligations about that. I'm not talking about the breaking of the law. I'm talking about, look, if you know somebody in the church and they're having a tough time in their marriage, the last thing you need to do is go on Facebook and tell everybody about it. And if they put some confidence in you and they got a little bit of help from you, you need to respect that. You need to be careful not to embarrass them. Somebody came to me and said, "I'm struggling with my child and I'm not sure what to do." And they had enough confidence to ask you. You don't need to go around telling all the other women while you're down at McDonald's having sweet tea about this particular situation. And whatever you do, don't share it with everybody through prayer request. That makes me so flaming mad. People say, "Oh, I want you to pray for old so-and-so," because, and then they just spill their guts with gossip. I don't like that. You can give me prayer requests that are unspoken, because I believe we need to protect one another. And people get hurt. Leaders, protect that confidentiality. Oh, but can I tell you, I think there are some times that people don't protect the confidentiality. And if you ever get hurt, Christian, could I recommend that you don't quit? Don't quit. Keep trying. Remember, I said this at the beginning of the sermon. I don't know of one single person in our church that is maliciously out to hurt someone. And so if you were not being loved like you need to be loved, I don't think that they sit down in the morning and said, you know what? I'm going to make sure I don't love. I don't think they did that. They're still growing, obviously. If you feel like I've got a leader and they just demand immediate success and there's no room for growth, I don't think that leader got up in the morning and said, I am not going to let people grow. They either give me what I want now or they can hit the road, Jack, and don't come back no more. I don't think we have people that are malicious like that. And so you know, if ever we have leaders like that, that will be attended to. Because I don't want people mistreated. The same about the loyalty and the feeling of a lack of appreciation and confidentiality. Let me give you a couple more. I think sometimes people, we hurt each other. I think sometimes maybe somebody would want to quit over the fact that they do not feel like they are respected. There's not a proper respect. Now the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 10, it says, in honor, preferring one another. I think every born-again Christian in this church is a child of God. And Jesus paid the same price for every one of us. And because, not because of who we are, but because of whose we are, there is a respect that ought to be shared among God's people. I would recommend this to everybody here. Don't ever treat anybody in this church as unimportant. Everybody is important. You say, well, I've been here a long time. You're no more important than the one that got saved this morning and just joined us. Now, I appreciate your faithfulness and I appreciate your longevity, but you have to understand that 8-year-old that got born again this morning, you're no more saved because you've been saved for 60 years. You're no more saved than that 8-year-old. And the same Jesus died for that 8-year-old that died for you. And I just don't believe there are unimportant people. And let me tell you, don't treat people as if they're disposable. See, I've watched leaders that virtually use folks and just dispose of them when they're done. That doesn't calculate in my thinking. I'm so glad Jesus doesn't dispose of us when we're inconveniencing Him. I think that God said there are no unimportant souls, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Hey, let me tell you something else. Leaders and everybody in the church, learn how to forgive. I don't think anybody ought to be marked for life. If somebody makes a mistake, let them get past it and let them make a comeback. And so I think there are times when we almost get a spiritual class system going in our behavior and our treatment of people. And I say, we're to respect all of God's people. There's a respect that's supposed to be there. So, leaders, be careful. Nobody should be treated as unimportant. I don't want you to treat people as unimportant. But if you're here and you say, I feel like a leader or somebody at the church treated me as if I was unimportant, could I recommend you not quit? Don't quit. Now, see, we take that personally. You say, well, somebody mistreated me. I don't think it matters to the devil why you quit. I'm just trying to tell you, I don't want anybody to mistreat somebody else. But if you ever get mistreated, don't quit. That's what the devil is trying to get to have happen here. He just wants you to quit. I'm going to use another word teach another, just a little piece of information here and I'll be done. I think sometimes good people quit because there's a lack of dignity expressed between people. And this is a little bit like no respect, but I want to approach it from a little bit different angle. The lack of dignity. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be ye kind one to another." And God tells us there's a way that we should treat each other. When I say dignity, be careful to be just with people. It is going to be rare that you need to publicly correct someone. Be careful not to try to embarrass someone and intentionally humiliate them. If you have watched, I've been the pastor of this church for a little over 5 years. Most of the time, the teenagers and young people that would ride in on our buses sit over to my left. There are times when I try to get them to behave themselves and not talk and not play in things in the church service. Do you know that so often when I'm correcting somebody over here, I'll look over here when I do it? I'm not trying to destroy them. I just want them to behave. That's all I want. I don't think I want to publicly humiliate. I'm not trying to destroy someone. All the correction is just to make things go well and for things to go right. That's all. When a leader disciplines to hurt instead of disciplines to train, somehow this has become all about you. They crossed you. How dare they challenge you? Really, how dare any of us challenge God? And we're all just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. Here's what I think. I think you and I ought to, when it's time for correction, I think it ought to be done with as much dignity as we can muster. And I think I want to correct you the way I would want you to correct me. You say, well, I call them down in front of everybody. Okay, would you like for me to call you down harshly in a humiliating way in front of everybody? So, well, I would. No, Pastor. We'll treat people the way you want to be treated. Get this. You treat their child the way you would like someone to treat your child. There's a dignity that ought to be expressed. Hey, I am not for a moment saying we will retract correction. Now, the Bible is very clear. God is a correcting God. But God's perfect love, God's perfect justice. You and I better be real careful when we go to correcting. So make sure in the relationships there is a dignity and a justice that is expressed. In a church like ours, it is very rare that we're going to have somebody get mad and leave us because of doctrine. That they don't. But do you know why you'll lose people? The way we treat each other. The way we treat each other. The way leaders treat followers. And maybe the way followers respond or followers treat leaders. Look, every leader here, please handle the brethren with dignity. I want that for you. I want that for them. Listen, if you someday get corrected and you feel you got humiliated, you feel that they did not respect that thing of dignity when you got corrected, I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry it happened. But could I recommend something? Could I recommend you don't quit? I imagine everybody, every adult here at one time in your life or another, you got corrected and humiliated. I'm sorry. Shouldn't have happened. But you didn't just check out in life and say, that's it, I quit. You can't. You can't. And remember, especially when you know the people around you are not acting maliciously. They didn't wake up in the morning and eat their mean pills and decide to try to destroy everyone they came in contact with today. So let's make sure that we're careful. Remember what the Bible said there in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. He said, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Now, who are we talking about? I'm talking about the people around the church that are busy. We're working. We're doing well. We're busy about serving God. He said, let us not be weary. Don't get wore down in doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You might think that's all about you just being so exhausted because you've been running so hard for God. I'm going to guess it's not how fast you ran. It's based on who you were running with. The human race are not real good at working with the human race. So don't quit on God because one of his humans was a sinner. They're just like you. So don't quit on God. I call the sermon, be strong and don't quit. He said to us, be strong and quit ye like men. Let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes. I call upon all the leaders and all the followers. Let's stick together. Our church is ready to go to a new level. What we don't need are offenses and things like that taking place. So leaders, you be careful how you handle yourself. And may I say to the followers, if something doesn't go right, if something doesn't go your way, don't be offended. Don't quit on God. Don't do that.